verse that I'm thinking on comes from the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I'll begin reading at verse 35 of Luke 12. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus said, "Be blessed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve. He will have them reclined at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night." And our second reading and our text for our time together comes from the letter to the Hebrews. This letter is a letter. We'll take a moment to talk about the letter to the Hebrews. It used to be thought that the Apostle Paul had written the letter to the Hebrews, but scholars say almost certainly that's not the case. We don't know who wrote the letter to the Hebrews. In the ancient Greek language that the Bible was written in, men and women used the language differently. And there are set of traits in the letter to the Hebrews that make it seem like it's possible this could be the one book in the Bible written by a woman. Well, we don't know for sure who the author was, but the theme of the book of the letter to the Hebrews is that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the traditions of the Hebrew people. Now, all the things the Hebrew people did were not wrong, but they were just temporary, the sacrifices and the atonement and all that. And Jesus, coming and sacrificing himself, has fulfilled those traditions forever. So we're going to be reading from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3, and then skipping to verse 8. "Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible." And now to verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that had never received as his inheritance, obeyed on night, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He had the tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was able to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All those people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, but only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People may say such things, show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they are longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call their God, for he has prepared a city for them." May God bless to us and to our understanding those readings from his holy word. Let me pray with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We, in the summer months, are experimenting with projecting some marks, prayers, and writings up front, and this technology has presented an opportunity to share with you some pictures this morning. And I asked Jason to put up there. This is a picture of a tourist attraction that opened last fall in China. You may have read about this in the news or seen it on TV. This bridge is made of glass. You read about this? It's 794 feet long. It's 590 feet above the gorge below. And when you're walking on it, you're walking on glass. Actually, at one end, it's a walkway that snakes around a mountain. It's called the Dragon's Tail Walkway. The Coiling Dragon Walkway. Look at that. Can you imagine that, walking on that thing? You know, actually, it's interesting to note that there used to be a wooden bridge across this gorge. But then the
Bible with a little bit. It was too scary. So they put a glass window up. Okay, you know, whatever. And then at a certain point, it goes right across the gorge. Let's see the next picture. How about that? Can you see? That's what it looks like down below. Can you imagine walking on that? This has become one of the most popular tourist attractions in China. It's one of those popular places in China for people to go and take selfies. They walk out in the middle of the bridge and they take a picture showing, you know, nothing down below them, all the way for 590 feet. Actually, recently, walking on the bridge, it cracked. You know, the people walking by just about, let's say they were disconcerted by this. It turns out that it's only the top layer that cracked. The structural glass underneath is apparently perfectly strong. So the government invited people to come out on the bridge with sledgehammers and hammer on the glass to show that it was safe. There's actually a video on YouTube if you're interested enough to go see it. These people standing on this bridge with a sledgehammer, and it cracks the top layer, but it doesn't crack the layers underneath. Apparently, not everyone is equally convinced of the safety of this bridge. Some people are willing to crawl across. So most of them are crawling across on his hands and knees. I think it'd be worse because you're always walking down through there the whole time. There are also pictures of people being drowned there on the bridge by their friends, or former friends. I think that would be so. Imagine that. I mean, here's this. What a tourist attraction, huh? What made me think about this bridge this week is I thought that these pictures and this bridge sort of illustrates something about what our text is talking about today. Because our text is talking about the nature of faith. And these people who are walking around this bridge or crawling around this bridge in the one case are expressing, in a sense, one of the aspects of faith that the author of the letter of the Hebrews wrote about in the text that we're reading together this morning. Okay, those can go away now, because they'll maybe pay attention to me while those are up there. I think it's fair to say that not everybody has the same thought when you come to the topic of faith. When people read the word faith, when people say the word faith, when they hear the word faith, we don't always think about the same things. And I think this text kind of invites us to think about what it is the Bible has in mind when it thinks about faith. You know, I read an essay that was written out in the 1950s by a clergyman from New York City who was at the time one of the leading clergymen in America. And he wrote about having a conversation with a lady who had been recently widowed. And the lady, in the course of this conversation, was talking about her ex-husband, and several times she said that she was quite certain that he was a man of faith. And the clergyman said he found this a little puzzling because the lady was an active member of the congregation, doesn't worship every week, but he said that in the whole time he'd been there, he'd never seen the husband back in the door of the church. So he was a little puzzled about why this lady would declare her husband was a man of faith. So he asked her about that. What made you say that? And she says, I know he was a man of faith because I very clearly remember that he once said that God exists. Was that faith? Does faith mean that you think God exists? Well, not according to the author of the letter to the Hebrews, because the letter to the Hebrews gives a description of what faith is. The letter to the Hebrews, this passage I just read in your hearing, says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure of what we hope for and being certain of what we do not see. And when you think about that definition, that "and" in the middle breaks this definition down into two parts. One of the parts deals with a faith that is of the future, and one of the parts deals with a faith that is of the present. That faith of the present says that it is being certain of that which we do not see. And that's what brought this passage to mind when I thought about that glass bridge. Being certain of what we do not see. That aspect of faith, the present aspect of faith, lets us look at the circumstances of the world around us and interpret them
done through the lens of what God is doing in the world now and throughout history. Let's just see what's happening in the world and see those things and understand them through the lens of faith. To understand that no matter what the world may look like, God is at work bringing his kingdom to fulfillment. You know, I think it's fair to say that lots of people of faith believe that we live in a time that is particularly sinful and hard. But it's a difficult time to be a person of faith. I'm a history major, and I would say that if you actually look hard at the progress of human history, there's really no basis for that fact at all. We do not live in a time that's any more sinful or any more difficult to be a person of faith than any other. We as Presbyterians, we're Calvinists, right? We are followers of the way of faith that was mapped out by John Calvin. John Calvin lived in the 1500s. And John Calvin looked at the world that he lived in, and he had exactly the same reaction to his times that we have to our times. John Calvin talked about how hard it was to look at the world and see it as a place where God was unfolding good things. John Calvin wrote these words in the 1500s. John Calvin wrote, "We are promised eternal life, but we see death all around. We are promised justice, but we are surrounded by sin. We are told to be joyful, but there is misery everywhere. We are promised abundance, but there is need everywhere." I have to point out that by any imaginable criterion, any logical way to look at it, we live in a world today that is much closer to the kingdom of God than the world John Calvin lived in. He lived in a world where one of every 20 people lived to be 45 years old. So what was there about John Calvin that allowed him to look at this world that he lived in, where there were wars and plagues and wars that lasted 30 years, and all this suffering in the world? What led him to be able to look at the world and to interpret it as the unfolding of God's kingdom? Well, the New Testament says it's because he had a faith that allowed him to see the world as that unfolding place. John Calvin was able to live in a world where he remained cheerful and optimistic, and he committed his career to convincing people that the most important thing to know about God is that he loved us and that he's unfolding his gracious love all around us wherever we look. It's faith that allows us to see God at work, even in troubled times. It's faith that allows us to look at the world around us and believe that God is continuing the work that he has been doing throughout history. Faith is the certainty of what we cannot see. It's the confidence that there's a bridge there, even though all we see is the space below us. This definition of faith that we read says that faith isn't just a matter of looking at the world as we see it now and judging it to be a place where God is at work. Our faith is also a hope for the future, a basis for hope for the future, that God is at work building a better world and that the world is going in the direction of the fulfillment of God's kingdom. The Greek term is translated as the basis of their faith, is actually a word that means foundation. So the author of the book of Hebrews is saying that faith means having a foundation for the hope, having a reasonable foundation, a strong foundation for the hope we have that the world is going in the right direction. Our faith becomes the foundation of our hopes for a better future. The great Presbyterian clergyman and preacher David Buttrick says that our faith is the projection of our lives into the future. Our faith allows us to work on the time and place that we are believing that God is unfolding something and allowing us to participate in it, believing that what we're doing in the world today as followers of Jesus can actually make the world a better place for the people that come after us, believing that we are a part of a great progression and that the work we do today contributes to the future kingdom of God. You know, I think there's an aspect of this definition of faith that makes it plain that as far as the Bible is concerned, faith is meant to be a dynamic force. It's meant to be a force that keeps us moving forward, not stopped in one place. Now, I think when you hear people talk about their faith being an anchor for them, my faith is an anchor for me. And I understand why people would say it, right? Because in times that seem stormy or chaotic, you have something to hold on to that feels solid. But I think Jesus would prefer that we think of our faith as a setup, is something that we use to allow ourselves to be driven in the direction that the Holy Spirit wants us to go in. You know, it's interesting, the Holy Spirit, the word translated Spirit, also means wind. The Holy Spirit is the holy wind of God driving us in the direction that God wants us to go. Our faith is meant to be a force that makes us dynamic people, that makes us do things in the world for the bringing about of God's will, that moves us in the direction God wants us to go, that deepens our faith, that deepens our relationship with God, that prepares us to serve God and other people more faithfully and more devotedly. It's meant to be a force that prepares us and strengthens us to proclaim God's will more effectively with every day that we live. You know, having that kind of faith, that kind of dynamic faith, enables us to act boldly in the world, even knowing that the things we do today may only pay off for the kingdom of God in the future, that we may not live to see the effects of all that we do. We do our share of the work today, but the kingdom is ongoing in front of us. You know, as we sit here today, worshiping, we are a half mile down the road from St. Francis Xavier Church, right? If you're a visitor to town, St. Francis Xavier Roman Catholic Church is just up the road. Now, I don't know how many of you have been raised as Catholics. Maybe you know all about St. Francis Xavier. But if you don't, let me tell you, St. Francis Xavier was one of the great Jesuit missionaries in the history of the Roman Catholic Church. He was the leader of the Jesuit mission that first introduced the Christian faith to Japan. Now, when he was in Japan, Francis Xavier and his friends were actually making some progress. They were winning converts in Japan. But then at some point, the Portuguese government made the disastrous decision to use the Christian church, as an instrument of its foreign policy. They tried to meddle in the government politics of Japan. And the Japanese government was so furious that they tried to exterminate every Christian in Japan, and they closed the country to the Christian faith and to all outsiders for 300 years. 300 years. Imagine that. No outsiders. Anybody who set foot in the country from outside was executed immediately. But the assumption in the Christian world was that the Christian faith had gone away, that it had been exterminated in Japan. But in the 19th century, when the country was opened again and Christians first went in, they were stunned to find that there were cities in Japan that had thousands of practicing Christians. So 300 years before, Francis Xavier and his friends had planted seeds of faith with the hope that God would take the work they were doing in that time and place and project that into the future. The author of Hebrews says that's an aspect of faith, of doing things in this world and having the hope that the effects that we have in our time and place will be carried on into the future. So that through us, God's work will be carried out as we do what we do for God today. Remember what Hebrews said? Faith is being sure of what we hope for, even though we may not see it today. I have to say, whenever I read this passage about faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I was thinking of a story that I was told years ago about the career of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was born about 350 years before Jesus. He was born in a small city-state to the north of what's north of what is Greece today. And even though he was from a small city-state, he was from the city-state of the corresponding to Seville, I suppose. I don't know, some small town. But he was such a brilliant general that starting there, he conquered all of Greece, all of Turkey, all of Egypt, all of the rest of the Middle East. He conquered what is today Syria. He conquered what is today, it was Persia then, now it's Iran, all of Iraq, all of Afghanistan, all of Pakistan, and a big chunk of what's India. All before he was 30 years old. Pretty good, huh? He conquered all that territory. And somewhere in the course of his conquests, somewhere probably in Pakistan today, Alexander the Great's army did something that their generals were afraid they would do. They marched off their maps. They started out in Greece with the greatest maps, the greatest mapmakers in the world could make. But they conquered so much territory and they went so fast that eventually they couldn't keep up with their own mapmakers. They marched off the maps, and they found themselves in completely unknown territory. So Alexander the Great called upon his generals, and he said, what should we do? Should we turn around and go home? Should we stop here in place and send out surveyors and scouts to make a new set of maps? And his generals deliberated for a while, and went back to him and said, you have never let us down. even though we have no map, we believe that no obstacle can stop us, no army sent against us can defeat us. We'll follow you, even if it means following you and marching off the map. And that, I think, is what real faith looks like. I think it means being willing to march off the map. Matthew Hebrews gives us an example of that, doesn't he? He talks about Abraham and Sarah. Here's a couple who are living in the most cultured city of the ancient world. They were living in the palace of the ancient world, the city of Ur. And this city is believed to be the first place that anybody invented writing. That's where they were living, and God called them to leave this cultured city, the palace of the ancient world, and spend the rest of their lives wandering around in the wilderness. But God made them promises that if they would do what he told them to do, he would bless them in incredible ways. And he did. He made similar promises to Joseph, their grandson. He made similar promises to David, famous king. He made promises like that to Joshua. He made promises like that to Esther. He made promises like that to the exiles coming back after the Babylonian exile. And you know what? In every one of those cases, God made extravagant promises to his people and then kept them. So if the generals of Alexander the Great had reason for confidence and faith in Alexander, how much more reason do we have for confidence and faith in the God we serve? We serve a God with a 4,000-year track record of keeping the extravagant promises he's made. And eventually he made a promise that he would come into the world personally in the form of an anointed one called the Messiah, and that he would die for the sins of the world, and in doing that would reconcile us to himself and create an opportunity for a new life. And he kept that promise, too. So the life of faith is a life of embracing these things, of holding on to a hope for the future, of being able to see the events of the present in the light of the very promises that God has made. That, according to the letter to the Hebrews, is what faith is. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's what God offers those who follow him in Jesus. Let's pray together.
Precious God, you know, so often we fail to think seriously about what it means to be a people of faith. But so often we allow ourselves to be discouraged or disheartened by the world in which we live. All too often we become so focused on the day ahead of us that we fail to think about what you are doing in history. We pray that you would build within our hearts and within our minds a true faith, a faith that sees the world as a place where no hard work and that holds strong enough to the hope that you are bringing about